Do you know any places any Sega nerds hang out around here?
Welcome to another exciting episode of the Sega Nerdcast, where we dissect all the latest Sega news, rumors, and opinions, cut through all the bullshit, and tell you what you really want to know. I'm Chris, the editor of Sega Nerds, and with me this week is my right-hand man, the Marcinator. How's it going, buddy?
Pretty good, pretty good, pretty stoked.
We are recording the Nerdcast episode 105 on June 11th, the eve of E3, and Marcin, you can tell he's all sweaty around the armpits. He's
I just didn't shower. That's why.
With all sorts of raging hormones going into E3.
Try to control that.
So you're going to be flying out like early tomorrow morning, right?
Yep. I wanted to cut as much money as I could on tickets. So I bought Spirit Airlines tickets. And my flight
is the worst of all airlines I've flown on before.
It's basically like, you know, yeah.
You're basically flying on cardboard boxes.
Yes.
Get
or it's like that Wonder Woman plane, but like it's actually worse. Like there's nothing there. I don't know. I don't really care. I haven't had like bad experiences before, but I mean it's shitty. And the respect that, you know, it has to be a small bag, but I think the backpack that I showed you is fine.
So he's a regular size backpack that he's going to use to put everything that he's taking with him to E3 in this one backpack.
I was thinking of putting like double layers of clothing, but I feel like I'd get stopped by the TSA and probably delay my flight because they probably think I have a bomb or something.
You mean on your body? You're going to double
layer? Yeah. I was like, it's like 80 degrees, sir. Why are you wearing like three pairs of jeans and a burka, you know? But yeah, that's what I was thinking, just to save space. But I don't know. I I'm only gone for like 4 or 5 days, so I figured this was more than enough space. That's what I'm hoping. But like you said earlier, before we started the podcast, toiletries might be a problem. But I figured I'd just share it with the other people who I'm sharing the hotel room with. And it's the Sheraton. Sheraton
Hotel. Does it mean the share a tin?
Yeah, it is. I'm a communist, remember? But I figured they have like, you know, even if the hotel shampoo is shitty, I figured I'd just use whatever they have there, you know. But
so you need to
shower to match.
Are you gonna wear your Rio jacket?
Oh,
you should wear that. I didn't realize. Take the backpack with you, and then you'll be like a real life Ryu Hazuki walking around
like
all your belongings in one backpack.
Yeah, but it's California, so here it's like 80 degrees, and I think the whole week it's gonna be around that there too.
It doesn't matter. Cosplay as Ryu every single day.
Yeah, cosplaying at E3, I don't think is
everyone does it.
No one does it.
Only the real journalists actually cosplay.
The real dedicated ones.
I'm setting you up for success if you just listen to me.
Or humiliation. You'll see me on like people's Instagrams. Everyone else is wearing like nerdy shirts, and I'm wearing a jacket with my hair spiked up and a bandage on my face.
Why not?
Because
good idea. I saw that you may or may not be able to have like a meetup tomorrow. What's the latest on that? And tell the listeners what's going on.
The meetup for Ryu Hazuki.
Yeah.
There was a post on Corey Marshall's Facebook, which was for you guys who don't know, he's the English voice actor for Ryu Hazuki. We've had him on the Nerdcast a couple times. You guys can check out on our YouTube channel below. But yeah, so he suggested to, you know, do like a meetup with like people from the Shenmue community in LA, since it's like E3 week and he lives around the area. He suggested a date on Thursday at 6:50 p.m., but I will already be up in the air on Spirit Airlines, hopefully in the air. I don't know, because Spirit Airlines might crash. but yeah, so he suggested we might maybe meet up tomorrow when I get in. So I'm hoping for that.
Why don't you go with cosplay as Corey Marshall?
So that basically just my street clothes, right?
Yeah.
Grow out my beard a bit more, but
you got to grow out your beard. Wear that like little pocket knife keychain that he wears all the time.
And a cowboy hat because he's from Texas.
That's right.
Like really stereotypical. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm excited. I hopefully we'll be able to meet, because at this point it's kind of complicated, because once I get there, I don't really know what I'm going to do next. Should I meet up with him? Should I go straight to the hotel? Should I pull off a Tom Hanks terminal and wait for the other people to come in, and I'll just be there for like 4 hours?
Don't wait for them.
But the flight, or the you know, going from the airport to, you know, the hotel and Uber is probably like $40. So if I could save myself like 15.
So you're really trying to see yourself
cheap. Some money. I'm cheap. Did I mention I was cheap?
I'm cheap. You did mention that you're Polish last week.
Yeah, so that's the same thing. The synonym for cheap.
So we should talk about what people are should expect from the website this week, because what we're basically going to do, we're going to run through all the news that's happened this past week. But every day during E3, we're going to be doing like mini Nerdcast episodes where Marcin is going to come on. He's basically going to recap what he saw that day. We'll talk about what news was announced. And also, he'll be able to give any like hands-on impressions of any games that he's played and all that kind of stuff. Yes. So pretty excited about that. What day does E3 actually kick off on?
So tomorrow, you have the press conferences. So if you want to be kind of technical, it technically starts tomorrow, because Bethesda and I think EA has their press conferences tomorrow. And then Monday, it's Microsoft, Sony, Nintendo. I think Ubisoft's in there somewhere. So all the big companies are doing their press conferences tomorrow and Monday. The actual floor of E3 doesn't open until Tuesday. So for the general public to go in and, you know, experience all the booths and all that kind of stuff doesn't start until Tuesday at like 10 a.m. California time, so Pacific Standard. So if you want to be technical, press conferences E3 Sunday, Salesforce, Best Buy, show floor Tuesday. So yeah.
So we'll try to do a video every day of the week. I think what would be good is Monday night we can do a kind of a recap of all of the day's press conferences after the Sony one, because I think the Sony one is the last one of Monday, right? I think
one's like around 6 p.m. or 7.
So we'll do that, and then we'll right after the Sony. Are you going to the Sony press conference?
I've been trying to, but I think I'm gonna have to just cover it from like outside their doors, metaphorically speaking. But
you'll be looking through the little slit in between the double doors. Maybe, who knows? Maybe you'll be able to get in.
Just look confident and walk in.
Flash those Sega Nerds business cards.
Knock some guy out, take his own press badge. But I mean,
you weren't able to get those in, right?
Yeah. Did I show you them?
I don't think so.
Here, give me a second. You distract people and talk for a second.
I will talk. Okay. So I'll talk about what I've been doing. And Friday was an incredibly important day for me, because Voltron, the Legendary Defender, was released on Netflix. And this has been something I've been super, super excited for a while now. And it actually was released on Friday. And I have to say, it is simply amazing. So this is based, or it's from a lot of the same people that were behind the Avatar animated series, Legend of Korra. So it has that same style of animation. And it's just really freaking good. The voice acting is top-notch. You have Tyler Labine, who's hilarious. You have, is it Steven Young from Walking Dead?
I think it's Yoon.
And then it has Rhys Darby, who was from Flight of the Conchords, and he's been in a lot of other stuff. He's hilarious. So they have some really good voice actors. It's really awesome. I have to say, they remodeled Voltron, and I do like the way he looks. I still prefer the old version of him better just because it's so iconic. But I thought that they did a good job with the redesign. I mean, redesigning something like something as important as Voltron is to so many kids from the 80s, there's a lot of it's easy to screw it up. And, you know, I could see a lot of people, you know, being pissed off if they messed it up and everything. But I haven't seen much negative reaction about it. And I think he actually looks pretty good. The one thing that I was kind of bummed out about is that they're missing some of the music in Voltron, because the Voltron, like, I don't know if you watch Voltron much, Marcin, growing up.
Mainly Power Rangers, which I'm like, hey, Voltron's a Power Rangers ripoff.
Just not but the it's same the other thing, way around. You bastard.
Yeah, they got the Megazords, and you got like a big Zord in Voltron, right? And they come together and form like a thing, right? It's like Power Rangers. And they got colors, right?
And so when they're forming Voltron, there's this amazing theme music that will always play, and it's one of my favorite things ever. And so the remix or the reimagining of the music, you can sound it sounds like a hint of that music, but it's just not there, man. I was kind of disappointed with the music. And then when they go to form, or actually when all the pilots or paladins go into the lions, there's always this really awesome montage of them like flying through all these tunnels. And what's awesome is that each of the tunnels is indicative to what type of lion that particular person is getting into. So one will be like tunneling through rocks, or one is like going through the ground. You see like dirt and roots and all this stuff. Just really awesome montage. And then when they form Voltron, there's an entirely different set where they're like, they talk about forming the body, forming the legs, and forming the head. It's just like Power Rangers. All there. It's not Power Rangers.
Did you watch Power Rangers when you were younger?
I love Power Rangers when I was a kid. I watched it religiously.
Did you watch like the original one?
Yes,
but it's like Voltron, right? You admit it's kind of
there are
of
some
like...
elements that are similar, but to compare the two is heresy.
Right.
It's not the same. But and so that's missing as well. So basically, the one things that I was kind of disappointed with I wouldn't call it a reboot, but it's just the new series. The music and the montages. Outside of that, they nailed it. I'm about 6 episodes in right now, and that's about I think they did a 12 or 13 episodes in the first season. So I'm about halfway through. The one thing I can say about it, I loved each episode's really good. They're expanding the universe. They're doing a lot of character development with each of the paladins, which is really cool. Pidge is also, I won't say that because it's that might be a spoiler. So
Pidgeon?
I won't say, but I'm trying to think what else I can say without spoiling it, because I don't want to do that. I guess I could say I wish that there was more Voltron action so far. I'm like almost halfway through, and there's not been enough Voltron action going on. There's a lot of them learning how to pilot the lions and that kind of thing, which I guess if you're looking at doing a mini season series is okay, because it's kind of showing the origin story of them all and that kind of thing. It's building up. And so if that's the idea, I'm all for it. If this was just ends up being a one and done season and there's just not end up being a lot of Voltron action, I am going to be disappointed. I would rather them just go balls to the wall from the very beginning, but it's a slow build so far. And I have a feeling that the latter part of this season is going to be amazing. It's so good, man. You got to check it out. Voltron Legendary Defender is legit. So well done. I'm hoping that maybe later on in the series or the season, they'll start doing some of the montages like I'm talking about, because when I would watch that as a kid, I would like lose my mind. I'm sitting there on our living room couch watching it, and they start going into the montage where the paladins start going into the lions, and then they are battling and getting beat up, and they're like, okay, let's form Voltron, and the music hits, and they're like, oh my god, it's like the Ultimate Warrior music plays for me, and I just start punching walls and breaking glass. That's how it was.
Sounds like you need to go to a psychiatrist or something.
I was like 5 or 6 years old in my like He-Man underwear. I would just go crazy, man.
What does He-Man underwear look like? Is it just like his crotch, or is it like his ass?
No, you remember like the old underoos and stuff. It was just like the regular briefs that had. They're the same style as they are today. Like Odin has Iron Man and Avenger underwear that are similar. It's the same thing that kids wear today, but instead of all of those superheroes, we had He-Man and Voltron and Transformers on them.
Yeah.
G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
And it was good. So I guess what they're also going to be doing is once this season's over in September, they're going to release a comic book line that's going to bridge the gap between season one and season two of Voltron, which is going to be awesome. I'm really looking forward to that. There's going to be a lot of really good comic books later this year. If you're a fan of 80s cartoons, there's going to be, they're doing the Hanna-Barbera stuff right now with Scooby-Doo and some other Hanna-Barbera IPs, Johnny Quest and the Flintstones, and they're kind of reimagining all those characters, and it's really neat. And they're going to be doing some other really cool ones later on this year too. I'm super excited about it, and we'll be able to talk more about that. Before we get into the newsstand, though, I did see, Marcin, that you picked up some DC Rebirth comics.
I did.
Earlier this week. Did you get a chance to read them?
I got a chance to read a couple of them. I think it was the Batman and Wonder Woman one, but from what
did you read the DC Rebirth issue one, though, the launch issue to launch everything off?
I don't think so. Because my brother bought the comics, but then I just kind of stole them and read them. Or am currently reading them. But, yeah, I mean, I like it. but I think I'll wait until I finish them all just to give, like, an entire opinion. So on next week's Pod Nerdcast, I'll give you my own full-blown opinion on all of them at the same time. But I did bring those business cards that I ran off to. Just going to show it real fast. It's basically, it's in reverse. But you guys get
now. Everyone's going to see your cell phone number and they're going to call you.
That's fine. I don't get.
I want to call Marcin.
Yeah, there's my cell phone number. If you guys can read backwards, feel free to text me, send me horrible voicemails. But yeah, so I'm gonna grab a couple, throw them in my wallet, and then, you know, if I go to that game after party or stand in line for 2 hours and, you know, wait for, you know, whatever demo comes there, I'll hand them out like candy. But yeah, it's always handy to have some on you anyway.
Yeah. Oh, one thing I wanted to talk about really quick before we move on, I just want to explain how busy I've been just the past few months, and it sucks so bad because I want to be able to play video games. I keep buying all these games. I just don't have time to play them. I'm working on the website. We're working on our other project that we're going to be announcing soon. It's just crazy. Between that, work, family life, it really sucks.
I don't know how you do it. I don't know how I do it either.
Oh, keep in mind, I'm also working on my master's as well. So I have how that. I don't know, man. And so I'm just going to go through some of the games that I've bought over the past few months that I've maybe played an hour each, if that. Some of them I haven't even played. So, okay, first up, Quantum Break on Xbox One.
Did you touch it?
Maybe an hour into it. Really good of what I've seen of it so far. I love the voice acting. I'm a big fan of – I love – Remedy. I'm a huge fan of Alan Wake. I love those guys. Really good game, and I really want to play more of it. Let's see. Gears of War, the Ultimate Edition, still sealed.
I'm not over that.
Uncharted 4, A Thief's End. I've played maybe two chapters in to the main quest or the campaign.
Like, that's like 30 minutes right there.
It's about half an hour or so. But I have played some of the multiplayer with James, and we had a lot of fun with that. Dead or Alive 3, the volleyball.
Oh yeah,
version.
There's gonna be a VR version too.
Still sealed. Haven't opened that. Street Fighter 5 played one time and put it back on the shelf because I have no time or life.
Or Tim.
Oh, Uncharted, the Nathan Drake collection.
That one I'm playing.
Opened it and have not played. Project Cross Zone 2.
Holy shit, you have a lot of games.
I played that. Not played very much. Rodea the Sky Soldier, sealed on the DS. I've not played that yet.
You know, like those magicians with the sleeve and they just keep pulling out a ribbon? I feel like there's just like an endless line of games coming out of your corner.
And then the last one is the Sega 3D Classics Collection. I've not been able to play much of that at all. And I feel terrible about it. So this is the stuff I want to be able to play, but I just can't. Because I'll tell you what, the one thing that I have been playing a lot of is Plants vs. Zombie, Garden Warfare, because Odin makes me. He's like, come on, let's play. That's all he wants to do on the weekend.
I think at this point you could do like a full-length review on Plants vs. Zombies if you wanted to.
The thing is that our kids can't play video games during the week. That's one of our rules in the house. So on the weekends,
I did that every day. Look how I turned out. Hey.
Yeah, exactly. So on the weekends, we allow them a few hours to play. And so when they get that time, Odin's like, all right, we're playing Plants vs. Zombies. And you're playing with me. And then during the week, he's asking me every day, is it the weekend yet? So it's pretty funny.
Did you teach him what the weekend was? Like the days of the week? I tell him,
but he gets so mad. He's like, Monday is the weekend. I was like, no, it's not. Friday is the start of the weekend. And after work and school, we can play then. But so hopefully things slow down over the summer and I can actually get some time to play that. Because my backlog, as you can see, is ridiculously huge.
You should start like a channel called Unfinished Gamer and just like play 2 hours of it and then give your opinion on it and then never play it again. Unfinished Gamer.
It would just be called like Uninformed Reviews, and I would just play it for 20 minutes and inform an opinion. Yes,
I think that's unique. You should do that.
Yeah, there's a market for that. I think Kotaku has it cornered.
Yes.
In Polygon, though. So let's get on to some news now. Why don't you bring us into the newsstand?
All right. So this week, probably I think it was Friday or was it Thursday? I think that. So basically, this whole past week, there were like rumors about a number of characters popping up for LEGO Dimensions for their next version of the game. And they got Sonic the Hedgehog that they formally announced jumping in. They released a trailer. He didn't really show up until the end, so if you guys haven't caught the trailer yet, it's basically Gollum going after the One Ring, and then Sonic swoops in, catches it, and then that's it. So I'm excited for it. There's also like 15 other franchises that are joining the LEGO Dimensions lineup. You got, Teen Titans, The Goonies, The A-Team, Powerpuff Girls, Gremlins, Beetlejuice, E.T., Adventure Time, which I'm happy for, and Harry Potter, which seemed like a no-brainer, and Ghostbusters, except it's the reboot Ghostbusters. So the Ghostbusters that's coming out, it's either this week or the week after. I don't remember, but great lineup. It's going to be released September 27th. So your PS4, your Xbox One, your PS3, your Wii U, your 360. I'm surprised they still make things for 360 and PS3, but I guess the PS2 had that long of a shelf life too. Does that tide you over, or does that do you think you'd buy LEGO Dimensions after Sonic the Hedgehog got announced, or do you think it's more of like it's cool?
No, I'm not gonna buy
LEGO. Sorry. I feel like it's a money pit where once you like the Amiibo thing, right?
Yes.
There's people who started their collection and then they just have to get every single.
Are these figures that you get, or is it all digital?
You have to build it yourself. So there are pieces in the box, but then you build it yourself, like Legos, right? That's what makes Legos special.
I will probably end up buying the figures and never playing the game. I would love to have the Beetle. I'd love to have Beetlejuice. I'd love to have E.T. Absolutely, the Goonies. Let's see here. Obviously, Sonic.
Knight Rider. Like,
I would love Knight Rider and Gremlins. I want Gremlins really bad too.
Yeah.
I don't care. I don't really care about Mission Impossible, Adventure Time. I don't care about Fantastic Beasts, Harry Potter. I don't really care that much about. Lego Batman, eh. Teen Titans Go, I don't care. Lego City Undercover, no. Powerpuff Girls, no. The rest, I am absolutely interested in.
Well, what do you think Sega's plan, reasoning was to join Lego Dimensions? Because it does seem a little different, right? When you compare everything else that's on the Lego Dimensions list, and then there's Sonic the Hedgehog. Because everything else is like under the Warner Brothers umbrella, I think, right?
Well, I think it's about Sega's strategic push to get Sonic into kind of pop
mainstream
culture
more.
Like they, you know, in the
'90s,
the Wreck-It Ralph movie, they had him,
yes,
in there, and so I think they're trying to branch them out into joining different sorts of IPs, mm-hmm. just to broaden the appeal, to get them out there in front of people's eyes who may not be watching or playing Sonic games these days. And so it's just about there, like getting him cool again, involved in things that kids are playing and doing. Lego is super, super popular. And so I think joining him into this game is super smart because people and young kids are going to be playing this game and they see Sonic and they are introduced to him this way. Hopefully they'll want to play future Sonic games. And other sorts of Sonic merchandise.
I noticed they gave him the tan arms too, because I know people for some reason have like some kind of like pent up rage when they see Sonic with blue arms because of Sonic Boom. But I don't know what the deal with that is.
I don't care.
Yeah, I don't know why. It's like paint him green for all I care. It's Sonic is still Sonic, you know. Give him
the best part about this whole thing though has to be the trailer at the very end when he steals the ring from. Why am I forgetting his name?
Gollum.
Thank you, God. I've only seen that movie and read the book a billion times. So I would love to see just a spin on the whole Lord of the Rings where Sonic takes the role of
Frodo?
Frodo. God, I wanted to say Tito for some reason. He's Mexican.
Tito? Hobbit Santana? Tito.
That would be hilarious. I would love that. I'm waiting for all the memes. I haven't seen them yet, but I would love to see all the different things that the possibilities if you replace all the Lord of the Rings hobbits and things like that with Sonic characters.
And it makes the most sense because they're focused on a ring, and Sonic the Hedgehog is all about rings. So there must be some, you know. I probably wasn't looking long enough. But yeah, let's jump to the next one. So earlier this week, it was announced by Dreamcast Live that Choo Choo Rocket is back online for people who have the particular method to play Dreamcast games online. So there's actually a video which you guys can check out in the article on our website about how to, you know, connect your Dreamcast online using what's called the DreamPi. It's basically an add-on that you could connect to your console, and then you use it as a way to use your modern internet connection, you know, with the dial-up modem that you have behind your Dreamcast. So that's actually, I'm really still astounded by the level of dedication that certain, you know, fans and you know, it was Jonas Carlson who did Choo Choo Rocket. You know, just to take the time and be like, hey, but here's a server for this Dreamcast game that got shut down over, you know, 15 years ago or whatever it was. And then there's other games that they have on the website that they say you could play online, Phantasy Star Online, Quake 3 Arena, Star Lancer, 4x4, I guess you say, Evolution. I mean, what are your opinions on, like, you know, fans, bringing back older, you know, the Dreamcast games into their into new servers? And have you tried it before? Like, have you done the method of, you know, connecting your Dreamcast to your
I've not done it through my Dreamcast. I have played some of the Phantasy Star Online games on PC when they've are running off fan servers and stuff, like Shtek's server that he had for a long time. I think it may have shut down now, but I think it's a great thing that people are doing, though. I mean, this is the only way a lot of these games are going to be able to live on if the fans come through and actually set up their own servers and get their Dreamcast back online. So I love the fact that they're doing this. This is amazing because there are a lot of awesome like online specific types of games. Like you mentioned, Quake 3 Arena is really great. Star Lancer. And I think Quake 3, I want to say, or maybe it's Unreal Tournament, because some of them were played off PC servers and you're able to I forget the term for it, but
cross play or
you were able to cross play. But it was essentially like the person playing on the PC end could host it essentially. And the Dreamcast player could connect via that way. So I think it was Unreal Tournament would essentially be online forever if there were a PC player playing, if that makes any sense. And I could have totally be wrong about that, but from what I remember, that is how it was explained to me a long time ago. But
we need to hire a fact checker for our next probably. Podcast.
Yeah. Maybe we could get the Requiem like to come in right at the end to tell us everything we said that was wrong.
Like after we're done with the podcast, it's like a credit roll of everything that we got wrong.
It's the entire podcast. But this is awesome news. Choo Choo Rocket is a really fun game. And I was just watching a video about it a couple weeks ago, a retrospective on Choo Choo Rocket, and it just brought back a lot of good memories for me. It was such a fun and cute game. I remember playing it online quite a bit with all the old Sega forums folks back in the day. And so it was fun. I like I said, this is just good news, and I hope these guys keep it up and that people actually go out and play some of these games. I really want to get a Dream Pie, is that what you called it? Yeah, I'd love to get one of these, but I think they're a little pricey. I think it's well over like $100 to get one of these.
I mean, you download the program, but then you have to get the
essentially like a modem, a different type of modem, right?
And I mean, most of them, like the ones that I see in Best Buy, come bare, so you have like the chip and whatever kind of exposed. So it's a good idea to put like a plastic casing over it, so the dust isn't
Best Buy?
Yes,
they sell them at Best Buy.
Not Dream Pie, but the device itself. So it's like essentially an Ethernet board type chip thing. It's just like your typical drive that you put in your into a computer. But yeah, I want to try it just because I do want to play some Dreamcast games online. Because when I bought the Dreamcast, it's got to be like 2000 or 2001. I think at that point the Dreamcast servers were offline. Either that or I just didn't know how to go online, and I just I think I was worried that I had to start paying for the service. So I never touched it, cuz you know that CD that came with your Dreamcast, it was like a web browser.
Try to sign up with SegaNet.
Yeah. I was like, "Oh shit, I'm going to like ring up my dad's credit card bill." I never touched it, but
pussy.
Yeah, I was a bitch. I was a 9-year-old bitch. But yeah, so actually, speaking of Dreamcast related games, why don't we jump into the next news story, which is an interview with Yu Suzuki with Polygon. And the interesting bit is him discussing his personal reactions about his feelings about the pressures of working on Shenmue 3. And I think it goes without saying for anybody who does anything creative, whether it's drawing a piece, writing music, creating a game. In this instance, everyone has, their self-doubts and they're worried about, the pressures or what other people think. And that's basically what he discussed. So there's this excerpt from Polygon's article that basically says, when it comes to the anxieties and working on such like a sequel like Shenmue, which, 15 years, you got a lot of expectations for the third game. He basically said the more expectations and the worries that stack up, the more they disturb his creative heart, meaning you kind of get a little flustered, or once you're working in that creative kind of like tunnel vision, if you're kind of distracted by people's opinions and thoughts and pressure, it could kind of affect his creative process. So that he said that's the biggest negative part of such a pressure. And creativity is, like he says, the most important factor in game development. So Shenmue 3 has been with him for a long time. He said Shenmue 3 was always with him ever since, 2001. And, the rumors were flying for 15 years. We've had, I don't know if you remember that article from Kikizo. I think the editor was Adam Dory, but there was articles that it was already done, that they're just waiting to release it or whatever. A lot of history. So he said that the challenges and pressures that come with making Shenmue 3 is Destiny, and he's been given opportunity by fans like you and me to continue his game. So when Polygon asked him whether or not he's worried that fans might be expecting too much, he said, to be honest, this is a quote, "To be honest, don't expect too much. Don't give me too much pressure. That would be, better as I can make a better game because I can be more creative." So now I don't think he's saying like, yeah, it'll be shit, so don't expect a lot. But I think it's easier for him to focus on his own creativity and, his game development without the added pressures of, other people. I mean, I guess you could just not look at the comment section.
I think one of the things that he's trying to say is that there's all these people wanting so many different things in this game.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so what he's saying is that he wants to be able to create the Shenmue 3 that he envisions,
mm-hmm.
and that he's getting a lot of pressure from fans who've, contributed. I mean, it's different than say Shenmue 1 and 2, where Sega published the game and paid for the development of the game. At that point, he owed a lot of that to Sega. I mean, he had people within Sega who he had to answer to, and some of the stuff in Shenmue had to have been changed or looked at and approved and all this other stuff. There was a process within the hierarchy of Sega. And at that point in time, fans had little to no say over the development of the game. Whereas now, because he went to Kickstarter and it was crowdfunded, the fans who helped put this game and help make it happen have a much more say in the creation of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just part of what crowdfunding is. And, and I'm sure he knew that going in. But I think what he's just trying to say is like, look, I got this. Let me make the game that I want. And I think that you're going to end up enjoying it in the end. And so, like I said, it's just a lot of people wanting a lot of different things from it. And if he made a game that, if he made Shenmue 3 based on all the comments that people are making, I think it would end up being a disappointment. I want Yu Suzuki to make the Shenmue 3 that he envisions in his head that he mm-hmm. wants to make. And so I am completely behind him in this regard, and I hope that he does that. And I think most of Shenmue fans are well-meaning. They're just so excited about it. And some of this is just the fact that we've been waiting so long for this game that the pressure has been building and building and building for years, for what, almost like, 15 years?
15, yeah.
Yeah, and so there's a lot of pressure on him to create something that's great and that people are going to like. And I don't know if he would ever be able to create the game that people are all wanting. I don't know if that's possible.
Well, you can't please everybody, so no.
Yeah, it's just that, I talk to people who end up hating the new Star Wars movie for various reasons. And by and large, everyone loved it. It got very positive reviews, but there were diehard Star Wars fans who hated it. I talked to this guy, a T-Mobile employee, like a day after I watched the movie, and he's like, "It was the worst movie ever." I was like, "What are you talking about?" He's like, "Oh, it's terrible. Luke hardly was even in it. He only said, he didn't even say anything." I was like, "That was the best part. I loved that they did that." But for him, he hated the movie.
And I got comments immediately after I watched it, because I went with like 6-7 people, and then one of my friends after they left, but then I was like driving home and I got a phone call, and he's like explaining to me, about like, "Oh, it's another Death Star and blah blah blah, and it's following, the New Hope. I'm like, yeah, it's kind of like another Death Star, but you got to look at it as, I think in this movie was more of a backdrop than the main focus. New Hope, it was like the big finale where it's like you explode, you know, the Death Star, and it was the main focus. I think in this version, it was, I don't know. I think there was just more focus on the character development and where's Luke. I think Luke is the focus and not the Star Killer base or Death Star 3 or whatever you want to call it. So, I mean, I could see how people have issues with it because it does take similar, you know, themes and creative themes from it, but now we kind of sidetracked. But
yeah,
back to 73.
Back to what we were saying. Not everyone's gonna be happy with it, but I'm happy that he is trying to create the game that he's envisioned. And I understand. Just in a small, minuscule way, the stress and pressure that he's on to create something that people are going to enjoy. Mm-hmm. So I kind of see where he's coming from that standpoint. And I hope that he doesn't let it get to him to the point where it negatively affects his work on the game. I hope that he can stay focused on just creating the game that people are going to love. And so we'll see what happens.
Yeah. So we are talking about crowdfunding, and recently the developers behind Mutant Football League have announced another crowdfunding campaign. So they've actually been trying to get Mutant Football League going for quite a while. I think it was like 2013 they started, right? Something like that.
It sounds about right. It was when they first went to Kickstarter.
Yeah, and then they did. I mean, their goal was $750,000. I think for Mutant Football League, that seems a bit much. But I mean, I assume that they just wanted to do so many things that, you know. That
I mean, if you look really at the cost of development of a game, that was very low, really.
Yeah.
But the idea of creating a game, I mean, to be honest, there's Mutant League Football has a very small following. It's kind of a cult following on the Genesis. It's a great game. Mutant League Hockey is another amazing game. It's one of the more expensive Genesis games these days. But, and so there's a small but really loyal following to this series. And I think that Michael Minheim and the rest of his team probably thought that there was a bigger following than there really is of the game. And they just kind of overshot what the reality of how much they could raise. And some of it may have been just the, you know, the Kickstarter campaign itself as well. And then maybe they could have just done, you know, better marketing or whatever, maybe. And so I was really bummed out when they failed. And we had him come on the Nerdcast. We, you know, during the campaign, we ran a lot of stories on it, and it just didn't seem like the, you know, it was there. And so, like you said, there's, you know, they've been trying unsuccessfully to find a publisher, which is kind of a bummer because I was hoping that that would happen. But they did announce in mid-July they're going to come back to, it said, another crowdfunding campaign. So they're not specifying that it's going to be Kickstarter. I assume it will be, but we don't know. They are going to be trying to get on Steam Early Access, though. And so this is going to be kind of a big deal for them because the game is being developed primarily on PC. And they're going to be going into the Steam Greenlight process in late July. And so they need to be able to get that greenlit before they can begin the early access stuff. So that's kind of exciting because I absolutely want to get involved in the early access. I've not messed with that on Steam before, but because I've been following Mutant League Football League for so long, I really, really want to try to play it, especially when there's a playable build of the game and see how the development is going along, because that's what I was really hoping for when the Kickstarter came out, and because it didn't succeed, I've just been having to kind of follow its development via their Facebook page and things like that. So we definitely hope all the best for, you know, for the Mutant League or the Mutant Football League guys, and hopefully they'll be successful this time around.
Absolutely.
I wonder how much their goal is going to be now.
800,000.
Yeah. They're just gonna be like, screw you guys, we're gonna go for
the wall.
Again.
Yeah. All right. Well, why don't we jump into our feature discussion?
That's right. So this week, our question of the week is basically, what is your favorite E3 memory? Last week, we talked about what the most realistic game that you'd like Sega to announce at E3. But since we're right on the cusp, the eve of E3, we wanted to take a look back at some of the our favorite moments. And it doesn't necessarily even have to be Sega related. But we took it to social media, and we had a few replies that we want to mention. Tyreek says that it's either the triple threat bombshell Sony dropped or the Fallout 4 announcement from last year's event, which was pretty exciting. Let's see here. Kitsuagi says, for me, from all the jokes and fun I've gotten out of it, the 2006 Sony one with the giant enemy crab line. So bad, but so good. Was that the same one with, was that the same one where he was like, Ridge Racer?
I think so.
I think that might have been it. That was a funny one. That man, that there was just so many memes that came out of that. And then Randy Newark said Shenmue 3, which, of course, we're going to get one of those.
No shit.
Which, there's nothing wrong with that. That was an amazing moment.
Yes.
And then over on Facebook, Luis says, Sony bitch slapping Microsoft with a PS4 price and features at E3 2013. That was one hell of a moment. We kind of discussed that last week. But man, that was not a good moment for Microsoft. I'm hoping they can kind of bounce back and regroup at this year's E3. And you know,
well, it looks like this year's E3 is going to be, it's like they have, there's potentially three consoles that are about to be released sometime early this year or in March. And none of them, with maybe the exception of Xbox, will be at E3, which is,
this is really what weird. Microsoft has to do, because you're right, Nintendo's not going to show off anything NX related. Sony's already announced that they do have the PS4 Neo, but it's not going to be at E3. If Microsoft wants to really try to turn the tide, they need to just go balls out with their Xbox. What is the
I don't know if there's a name for it. I just know I think it's potentially an Xbox 2 terabyte one. You know, they can't call it 1.5 because then it just sounds like it's, I don't know. You can't, because like PS4.5, I mean, it makes sense because they've always started with numbers, but Xbox went with Xbox 360 because they made Xbox 360, because if you call it Xbox 2, it's gonna look inferior to a PS3, right? So, and then they went to Xbox One, and they were going for, you know, one device, multimedia, and all that fun stuff. But I don't know. You can't do 1.5, or, you know, I honestly don't know what the code name is, but
I've heard the code name mentioned throughout, just on the Scorpio, is what they're calling it.
Hmm.
That's the
code
the code name. So you have the Neo for the PlayStation 4, and then the Xbox One Scorpio. That's just the code name going around for right now. So yes, I really hope that Microsoft pulls some magic off at this year's E3. I can't help but root for the underdog, and I think Microsoft has really turned it around from what they were like when they originally launched the Xbox One, and leading up to the Xbox One. It was just so mishandled. They were just, I forget the name of the old president of that before the new guy took over, but he was so smug. I hated the look on his face. He was just such an asshole. I remember
wasn't
this
the guy that loved Dreamcast for Microsoft, was it?
It was, oh, Peter Moore, is that your title? Yeah, no, it wasn't Peter Moore. But I remember one message they made, because one of the things that they were saying about the Xbox One is that it was going to have to always be connected. And if it wasn't always connected online, then it wouldn't be able to play.
Then we can't hear your heartbeat or pulse and know what you're looking at.
They were saying, like, so what about military members who love the Xbox and want to play your games? Say they're bringing an Xbox onto a submarine or just something like that. And they want to play it, but they can't because it's not connected. And he said something to the effect of, well, you know, they can always play the Xbox 360. And it's like, really? That's your answer is to play your old system and not your new one? You can't figure out a way to be able to make that happen? And yeah. So they've really turned things around, and I feel like they're a much more consumer-friendly company now. And I hope that they can turn things around and get it back on track. Because I don't want Microsoft to leave the console business. I love the Xbox. I love the PlayStation.
Well, they never would. They got billions of dollars from Bill Gates.
I don't know if things don't turn around for the Xbox, I don't know if Microsoft is going to release another iteration or another generation of the Xbox. There's already some rumblings about
that.
That's
bold. So we'll see. Don't know about that. But I mean, then it'd be Sony and Nintendo. So at least my checkbook would be much heavier, because then I won't have to give out so much money. But speaking of Microsoft, I think one of the most hilarious things, like in terms of past E3s, was that one where they shoved the Kinect down people's throats, and they did a whole bunch of demos of how the Kinect works. But the games that they were showing, and they were doing it live, it just wasn't working. They tried Kinect Star Wars.
I love the Kinect Star Wars moment where the guy's trying to make it look
he's lifting
like a one-for-one movement based on what he's doing, but he's obviously copying what's happening on screen. It was so bad.
Well, was that the one where he was like lifting? It was like the tank from Phantom Menace. And I he tried to do it, but it looked delayed. So I think that might be what you were talking about, where it's like
there's a moment where he's like something happens on screen and he does this pose where he like brings his arms down to his side.
Yes.
And he doesn't do it in time, and you can obviously tell that it's like just a pre-scripted movement, and he's trying to make it look like the game is based in the character's movement off his body's movement. Do you remember with the Kinect, and it was terrible.
It was just like one after the other. So that was just the train wreck. There was like another one with Disney Adventures, and they brought out two kids, and they're just so cheesy, and I was like, oh God, make it stop. And the kids at the end are like, fist up, yay, this is cool, as if they like pretending that they actually liked. Maybe they did like, Disneyland Adventures, whatever the hell it's called. But I hate when companies go that really gimmicky route where it just looks so fake. I prefer just like, guy comes out on stage, talks about it, and then shows you the footage. I don't like, like the pomp and circumstance and, the whole. Or maybe it's just executed poorly, and maybe that's why I didn't like it. But that whole Kinect thing, or even the Wii, if you remember how they did demos for the Wii, there was a presentation where they really showed that they wanted to appeal to like casual audiences, which was like moms and people like that, with like the Wii Fit and all that stuff. And that just made my eyes roll so far in the back of my head. I thought I had a seizure, but like the Wii stuff, I just love naming the hilarious shitty ones, because those are the ones that stick out to me the most. The PS3 price, that had a lot of memes too. So when they announced the PlayStation 3, and originally they announced the price of the first two, first of all, your lettering looked like the Spider-Man lettering from Spider-Man. That's a whole other thing. It looked like a waffle liner. It was huge. And it was $599 for the 60-gigabyte one. And if you remember, there was like a whole bunch of memes or videos of around that time was also Metal Gear Solid 4. So there was a trailer of Snake putting the gun in his mouth, and they synced it with the Sony rep announcing $599. And I was like, yeah, that's how I felt. And that's, and I skipped PS3 for that whole generation just because it was, so expensive. So,
well, the PS3 had a lot of problems coming out of the gate anyway. With the operating system, it was just very clunky. It didn't have near the amount of features that the Xbox 360 had. I mean, even the original Blade Xbox 360 OS or user interface looked better or was more responsive. It's just more feature rich and everything else. Like you couldn't, I don't think even at the beginning you could do like global voice chat with people. It was only in game, which Xbox 360 was able to do, like party chat essentially. And just lots of other things that it just was not good. And they eventually at the end, like now you pick up the PS3, the operating system has just come so far from where it started.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So at the very beginning, I mean, the PlayStation 3 had just a lot of catching up to do. And the Xbox 360 for a long time kicked its ass. And they narrowed the gap towards the end because, well, I mean, Sony had just so many JRPG style of games and other things like that you could only get on Sony. And they continue to work on the operating system to the point where it was almost as feature rich as the Xbox 360, and you could do most of the same types of things as you could on the Xbox. So that was a good thing. But let's get back to kind of the question though. What is your favorite moment at E3? I don't think you've actually answered that yet, have you?
I've mentioned favorite shitty moments. right. I love those, and I'm really hoping that there's another fuck up just so I could laugh at it this year. But
There will be. That's the best part about E3. Just someone's
just like awkward, like badly timed, you know, like they can't read the teleprompter right, or
I just love it when shit goes wrong on stage and they just don't know what to do.
I must love anarchy or something, but I just enjoy that kind of the kind of stuff when it goes wrong.
Sometimes I hate it to the point where it's just so.
Well, sometimes it takes away from the experience.
You feel embarrassed yourself.
Yeah,
you
I'm like
those moments. You're like, oh god.
Yeah, I either feel like I want to look away, or like turn off the. Like I'm almost tempted to turn off the video because I feel bad for them.
Could you imagine if you're in that position though? Like you're maybe someone who doesn't enjoy getting up and talking in front of large audiences anyway, and you know that not only do you have thousands of people in audience watching you, but you literally have hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people watching online throughout the world. And then you're up there, you've practiced over and over
and
over again.
Live TV,
you've almost memorized everything that you're going to say, your entire your show you're going to do. And then for whatever reason, just shit starts going wrong and you're up there and no one's coming out to save you and you're on your own.
I've had that problem before when I was doing, you know, like school type presentations. I kind of get up and then draw a blank and I forget what I was gonna say, like just completely, just like, oh fuck. But like, knock on wood, if I ever do anything like that, like in my future career, you know, or wherever it takes me, if I do end up doing a presentation like that, I really hope I don't fuck up, because that would be embarrassing. But I mean, it could happen. I could, you know, laugh it off and whatever. But anyways, now I'm just thinking out loud. I mean, my favorite E3 memory, besides, you know, the hilarious fuck-ups of the past couple years, I don't know. I know it's going to be so cliche, but I did like last year's just because I'm one of those people that was on the Shenmue Dojo for 15 years. Bunch of discussions and forum posts and, you know, playing and replaying Shenmue and buying, you know, the strategy guides just to discover new details in the game. And I don't know, it led up to that moment when they announced, you know, Shenmue 3 on Sony's, you know, stage. They announced Shenmue 3, they announced Final Fantasy 7 Remake, and they announced The Last Guardian, which has been in developmental hell since the beginning of, I think, the PlayStation 3, you know? So them landing that, you know, three, you know, megaton bombshell, it was just really, really, it really stuck out for me. Like, that just kind of blurs everything else when it comes to, you know, or maybe just because it's so recent, but it's really one that really sticks out for me. I know you were talking about E3 1999, but I did not see that live. I don't know if you did. But
I haven't even mentioned it.
Yeah, I'm just curious.
You took the wind out of my sails.
It's okay.
E3 99, that is a special one because that's one that Sega fans, coming out of that, we were so hyped because Sega just kicked everyone's ass that year. I mean, if you remember, that's the one where there was the big display at the outside of the E3 with the guy's face, and he had the Dreamcast logo, the swirls in his mm-hmm. eyes, and there was just so much Sega branding throughout. I mean, they really did a lot. And so this was leading up to the Dreamcast launch. The Dreamcast had already launched in Japan, and Sega was just really putting it out there. And I think they showed, they may have shown Sonic Adventure, but they had a lot of other games out there that they were showing. There was what's the boxing game? Ready to Rumble was out there, and that was a big thing because there was never a moment where there was almost like a one for one port of an arcade game before, and it just replicated Ready to Rumble so well. And everyone, I mean, that was one of the games that I was super, super excited about. It just looked really great. It kind of reminded me of I was a huge fan of Mike Tyson's Punch-Out growing up, and I was like, man, this game is kind of like that, but it's 3D, and all these characters, they look so awesome. They look like cartoon characters. Looking back now, they didn't look that great. But I was just super excited for that. What are some of the other ones? Let me see here. I'm looking back. Okay, so NFL 2K, man, that was a game that I was super excited about. It looked fantastic. I mean, you got to think back. We were playing like Madden on the PlayStation back then, and it looked terrible, and it didn't even play that great. And I kind of lost interest in a lot of football games. But when NFL 2K showed up, it was like, man, there was all these information about like tons and tons of polygons were into each character model. There was like over 1,000 different motion captures, and you could tell like the players moved differently. They moved more realistically. The way when they tackled, it looked different. And it was really the point where the next generation of football games began, is when Sega showing off NFL 2K. And that is still to this day is my all-time favorite football series. I love NFL 2K because they struck the right balance between an arcade style a game and also a football simulation. And so it's really, really fun, and it doesn't like go too much into the simulation side. Do a really good job of that. There was also The House of the Dead 2, Sega Bass Fishing, Soul Calibur, which was probably the best looking launch title for the Dreamcast. I want to say it was launched, maybe it came out a few weeks after, but it was the launch window, I should say. It still looks great today if you pick it up and play it. I mean, the character models are smooth, they're not blocky, and everything just is so fluid. I love the fluidness of the characters and how they move. That was one of the things that really, really like hooked me when I saw the videos and everything coming out of E3. So this is basically the E3 where Sega kicked everyone's ass, and it was a moment. I mean, I remember going online and talking about it with other people and my friends, and we were just so excited for the Dreamcast. And I remember getting the first official Dreamcast magazine at my grocery store where I worked, and I was like, oh my god, it's finally here. I went and grabbed one off the shelf and went to the bathroom and locked the door, and I sat there on the clock because I was working there at the time, and I sat there for at least 45 minutes to an hour flipping through every single page of the first official Dreamcast magazine, and I was hooked. I was like, man, I cannot wait for this. This is the next generation of gaming, and it really blew me away. And so that, looking back, out of all the years, and I think 1999 was the best year for me. It's just such a good time. I loved it.
Man, I can't beat that.
You can even go on YouTube and search Sega E3 1999, and there's a lot of videos that you can find out there. That kind of take you back and recap and all that kind of stuff. So you can see some of the show floor and that kind of thing. So it's really good. Definitely suggest you do it if you get some time. And so we'll see. I mean, I don't think we're ever going to get a moment for Sega fans as amazing as that, as far as like an overall E3. There might be game announcements here and there sporadically that are going to get us super excited, but I hope for the day that Sega comes back and can kick ass like that, but I just think we should just measure our expectations a little bit and let's just hope for a game that we weren't expecting, and that
a
Sega
good game really once good. A year. Yes.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. We'll see.
Yes.
I'm excited for E3 though. I think even Sega's announced lineup that they have between Sega and Atlas, I think it's a pretty decent lineup of games. Nothing like too solid. Spectacular, but I'm interested in Yakuza Zero is going to be playable there. I'm excited to hear from you about that.
Uh-huh.
I'm excited for Sonic Boom Fire and Ice. I want to hear about that because I thought Sonic Boom Shattered Crystal wasn't that bad. At least compared to Rise of Lyric, it wasn't that bad. And so I want to see how Senzaru has improved the formula of the Sonic Boom series. I'm really interested in that. Obviously Persona 5, I'm really interested in Persona 5. That game looks awesome. And I'm trying to think what else they're going to be showing that I might be looking forward to. What else is there?
I know that they have God, I forgot the name of the title. It was Rock Bowler at, what the hell is it called? Jesus. I have to go back and look because now I'm drawing a blank. See, guys? Karma.
what you get.
So there's Persona 5, there's Yakuza 0, there's Sonic Boom. They also have, I think, Warhammer that they're just kind of showing. Rock of Ages 2, Bigger and Bolder, is going to be shown there. King of Fighters 14, I believe, is going to be also shown at their booth. So Rock of Ages 2, King of Fighters 14, like I said. I think those are like the biggest ones. I think they have Hatsune Miku, and I think they have another Shin Megami Tensei too.
Sorry.
That's about it.
So for me, Yakuza 0, Persona 5, and Sonic Boom are the three games that I'm really excited for.
Yes. I think it's probably the ones that most people are excited for, at least from Sega's perspective. Now they're hoping, obviously, they announce some other things, you know, during maybe, you know, Sony's press conference or maybe even Microsoft's, but I think they're more in bed with Sony than Microsoft. So I think most people will be expecting something during Monday's press conference.
One thing you do need to keep in mind, though, is try to see if Rez is going to be there.
Oh, yeah, Rez.
Sony
yeah.
area. So go check that out and see if you can get some action on there. So that would be a fun thing to do if you get the chance. So
I'll totally try that. I forgot about Rez. Yeah, that, Rez will be at Sony's booth. Mm-hmm. And I do want to try out the PlayStation VR, so...
I'm excited for the PlayStation VR. I'm excited about some of the possibilities that it can present. I'm hoping good things. If they could come up out with you know, like three or four really solid titles at launch, I think I would invest in it and pick it up. And especially if they show that the PlayStation 4 Neo can run it a lot better, mm-hmm. I would even consider picking one of those up as well.
I get a PS4 Neo just because I want my 4K TV to take advantage of, you know, the games.
Yeah.
So I think that'll, like, I hope they announce at least a price point or something during E3, maybe even a release date. They don't have to necessarily show what it looks like, because I figured it'll probably look a bit different than the current console, unless it's just going to be different specs under the hood and they maintain the same, you know, eraser look that they have right now. But yeah.
I would love it if they came out with a retro PlayStation 1 design that you could get. That's like the light gray color.
Get under in the shell. I think they would need to have it that big, like the PS4 version. Unless you mean like something as big, as the PS4.
They can make it bigger, but I love the original PlayStation 1 design. Like the original gray, one with the big one. Like satellite looking like thing, yes, on the disc tray that pops up. I love that about it.
Yeah.
And then in a year, you have to turn it upside down for it to be able to play in the game. Those are the good old days.
That was the PS2 for me.
My PlayStation 2 was a beast, man. That thing fell down like flights of stairs, fell out of windows, was run over by a car, and it still kept...
I don't believe the last
one. That, it didn't do all that. But you know what? One thing that probably could have taken all of that and wouldn't give a shit was the original Xbox.
Nokia.
That thing was, man, it was a freaking tank.
Yeah. I think it was also, for me, it was loud. I don't know.
PlayStation 4. That's the biggest thing I want the PlayStation Neo to be able to fix, is just fix the fan, because it sounds like a small aircraft is taking off in my living room every time.
Yeah, but, I mean, things on. Sega fans are used to like loud consoles. Like the Dreamcast was no, you know, Ferrari or whatever. It's just like, and it's trying to read it like really loud.
That's when you know that skipping. Shit's powerful, though. Like, you know, some really action is taking place under that thing.
Yeah, and so. It's trouble reading. And it just goes with all of my games, because they're all kind of fucked up by now. Probably should have taken care of them better, but yeah.
All right. Let's see here. I think it's going to wrap things up. One thing that I do want to point everyone to is, so Requiem just launched a new YouTube channel. I'm sure you guys are all familiar with the Requiem on our site. Some people love him, some people hate him, but he's always posting some sort of interesting or inflammatory articles. So he just came out with a new YouTube channel, and the series is called Requiem Unbound, and he basically does kind of like a recap of some news. And this week he goes in and puts Alex Kidd on location at E3, where he's reporting back. It's kind of like a style of a news, like an evening news broadcast that you'd be familiar with. It's really funny, lighthearted. Don't take it too serious, but it's very entertaining. So be sure to check that out. It's on our website, so you can go there and watch that. It's really funny. Be sure to follow him and subscribe to his YouTube channel. If you want to follow us on social media and you're not already doing so, you can find us at Twitter. Shame it's at Sega Nerds. Facebook is facebook.com/TheSegaNerds. The Nerdcast is available on iTunes and Stitcher. And if you want to find our RSS feed, it is on our front page on the right sidebar. If you just scroll down a little bit, you'll see that there, and you'll have all the information where you can subscribe and all that kind of stuff. And so, yeah, this is going to be a great week. I mean, it's going to be very exciting. We have E3 to Morrison. You're going to be very, very busy.
No. You have no idea.
I know. And later in the week, we have some exciting announcements of our own that we'll be making. But we're
crazy.
We'll let E3 week happen before we make any announcements. But we're excited. It's going to be some good times. So lots of things are happening behind the scenes at Sega Nerds.
Yes.
And we're really excited about it. So, all right, that is going to do it for us, Marcin. I guess we will see you Monday evening
on the show for panting heavily.
Our post press announcements and or press conference.
Yes.
Things, and you'll give us an update on how many layers of clothing you had to wear.
And I'll let you know how many times I got felt up by the TSA and if my plane was nosediving. So all that and more on Monday.
If we don't hear back from him by then, he is no longer with us.
Yes. Give Spirit Airlines a 0 for me, if anything.
I will do that. Thank you. I will yep them. Give them a negative review on Yelp.
That'll be in my will for you.
As long as you give me the Shinmu jacket.
You got it.
All right. Sweet. All right. That is it. We will see you all in a couple of days. Take it easy.
Young Bobby Engels has a problem. He needs to earn the respect of his peers. So he gets the special Sega Genesis fighting system. It comes with Streets of Rage 2. He saves $40. He gets more moves. He gets more control. Now things are pretty much okay.
I said chocolate chip.
Say it. Say it.
Sega! Sega!